There's a lot of energy in the room this morning. I have no idea where that's coming from. Perhaps the yellow. But I'm going to say Holy Spirit. Because that's what we're going to talk about today is Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. And we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is where our sermon comes from today. So join me with these and following along with these words from 1 Corinthians, the first 12, the first 11 verses. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Now pay attention to this verse. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by what? The one Spirit, the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Y'all exhausted yet? All these are activated by what? One and the same Spirit that unifies us, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. May God bless the reading of God's Word. So life goes through many seasons. As the leaves begin to change and fall from the trees and we slowly slip into winter, as we move into the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, we're reminded that life is always moving and we'll move along without us if we aren't paying attention. Like sands through the hourglass, so are the, say it with me, days of our lives. Some of you are more enthusiastic than that. But it's the same way with our spiritual life as well. We go through seasons, and we need to take time to reset. When we reset, we think about the past, what we've learned, what we've experienced, what we now know. We take a deep breath. As we are in the present, we look at who we are and where God is at work in our midst, how much we have grown in Christ, and we attempt to join God in those places that God is at work around us, and we look into the future and make sure that we are moving in the direction that we have set for ourselves through the power of Christ's Spirit. It's important to take time to reset. So that's what our current series is devoted to. And we look to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthian church to see how he addressed resetting within that church community. Today, as we've said, we'll look at spiritual gifts and using our gifts for Christ. Paul spent more time in Corinth than any other church except perhaps Ephesus. One reason is because they were so incredibly divided. They disagreed on just about everything. In Corinth, there were just too many cultures, too many worldviews and approaches as to how to worship God, and these things all collided in a very nasty way. Following Christ became convoluted and complicated. They disagreed on religious practices. They disagreed on what was sin and what was not sin. They disagreed on doctrine, and they disagreed on what was dogma. Sound familiar? Last week we learned Paul was focusing on unity with the Corinthians. We learned that in chapter 1. And in today's passage, Paul is still working on unity, 12 chapters later. And what better way to demonstrate the importance of unity than to speak of how the Spirit of God empowers us through spiritual gifts in so many different ways. Paul was saying that the characteristic of a healthy body is that every part in this body of Christ performs its own function for the good of the whole body. So embrace your differences. Embrace what makes you unique in Christ and do it really well. And allow others to do it well on their own. Without judgment, without jealousy, without comparing yourselves to those other Christians around you. It's actually a very Baptist characteristic. Well, in the truest sense of the Baptist identity, embracing our differences, respecting them, and respecting one another, realizing that different approaches provide different aspects of God. Each one of us holds one small piece, one small reflection of God, one perspective of God. And when we put them all together in a unified way, we have a much bigger glimpse, a much bigger picture of who God is. You see why this is important? Unity does not mean uniformity. It doesn't mean conformity. We all don't have to look, behave, believe, and exist the same way just because we follow Christ. It's actually contrary to Christ. Diversity and difference is what makes the glory of God that much larger and that much more glorious. We can approach the way of Jesus in our own giftedness and ability to be like Christ, how we were created in Christ. And if the function or role we fill edifies the body of Christ, and if it glorifies God through Jesus, then it's okay to be different. Actually, it's preferred that we're different. And what better way to explore this concept of unity and this concept of differences and uniting our differences in one body of Christ from Paul and from Jesus that give us this concept of spiritual gifts. So I'm going to be personal this morning, but before I do, I'm very passionate about spiritual gifts, if you didn't know this about me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this position of spiritual formation. I've always been a fan of discovering your gifts and then finding the best ways to practice them, to use them, and to bring God into your life and others. I'm all about spiritual gifts and taking assessments to learn about it. How many of you have ever done a spiritual gifts assessment? I learned early when I got here 7 years ago that there's much balking when I brought it up because of an experience in which you didn't get out of the process that which you had hoped. So many have get a little uncomfortable when I mention the phrase spiritual gifts assessment. That may not be you, but might be. But don't let a program that didn't net the results you were hoping for deter you from discovering and living into your spiritual gifts. That's the first thing I would tell you this morning. Discovering our gifts is how we can best and most effectively live as Christ in the world, in a way that God created us to live and move and have our being, as Scripture says. These assessments are mere guides to help you begin the process and then experiment in finding the most fulfilling ways to represent and live into Christ's likeness. It's a task of discipline, spiritual discipline. It's trial and error. It's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's discovering for what God has created you and can best use you. And without knowing your spiritual gifts, you may find yourself unfulfilled in life and not living your best you. So let me tell you that personal story I was mentioning a minute ago. I spent several years battling God and the church after some negative experiences that I won't get into this morning. But when I found my way back into church and into a relationship with Christ at the age of 15, it was through recreational evangelism. So naturally, I was drawn to the gift of evangelism in my own life because it had such a powerful impact on me personally. So that's how I began serving Christ, the gift that I chose to use in ministry. Even as I moved into vocational ministry, recreational evangelism was my thing. In youth ministry, everything had an element of recreational evangelism to it, every time we gathered. And then I moved into, you guessed it, recreational ministry. My first full-time position. Constant evangelism through sports and recreation and leading people of all ages to Christ through that medium. Whenever I took spiritual gifts assessment during those days, I always scored really high, incredibly high, off the charts high on evangelism as my spiritual gift. All the while I was participating in these ministries, I was exhausting myself physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and I had no idea why. I was doing what God wanted me to do, right? It's because these assessments that I was taking, this was a place to start, a guide. I had no idea why I was so unfulfilled in ministry. It was good, but not really fulfilling. And I had misused these guides a bit. And here's what happened. These guides, they're just one tool to use in the discernment process, the experiences that you have. But I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that because I was using the gift of evangelism, I would score those assessments accordingly, because that's where my heart and my ministry and my mind were. So I scored high on those assessments, but it wasn't necessarily a gift of mine. It wasn't accurate of my giftedness. Other aspects that I continued to notice throughout these assessments, I took them all the time, included teaching, shepherding, pastoral care, spiritual formation, never preaching, by the way. Over the years, I've taken a lot of personality tests. I've even given some of them to you as well. That these tests have taught me the differences between your actual needs and your perceived needs, and how understanding your giftedness can mean the difference in living for Christ and living as Christ. There's a difference. I was sold out for Christ, but I wasn't living as Christ because I wasn't using my spiritual gifts appropriately. Those assessments were helpful, but there's still a lifelong process at work here that I'm still figuring out even to this day. But what I learned is that I'm not actually gifted at evangelism. I actually score really low on it, if you want to get down to it. It's hard, exhausting work for me. It's not how God created me. But I had never been given the option to think otherwise. My gifts are in shepherding, teaching, counseling. And the more I've experienced life, the more I've experienced ministry, the more I've engaged people, the more I've studied Scripture and spoken with Holy Spirit and strengthen those gifts within me, the more fulfilling my life has become. I feel more fulfilled now than I ever have in life. It's because of that process. But evangelism was and still is exhausting to me. And heads up, preaching's not my gift either, as I said. Probably not a surprise for you there, but it's not. It's exhausting for me to do this. The process from beginning to end of preaching is exhausting for me. So you might be asking yourself right now, what do you do with that, preacher? What do you do with the Great Commission? If you're not gifted in those things, why are you doing them? Well, just because I'm not gifted in those things doesn't mean I'm exempt from them. It's an important concept for us to consider. I still have to do those things that God calls me to do in light of my spiritual gifts, because those are a part of following Christ and living as Christ. And evangelism, as a result, has taken different shapes for me. I don't do it in the traditional sense that you might think. I do it through forms of coaching or counseling, teaching. And those things keep me more fulfilled and less exhausted. And preaching requires a little bit of extra time using spiritual gifts of spiritual formation and shepherding for me to refill that energy bucket. And I just might have to take a nap this afternoon. But do you see what Paul is saying to us this morning? Every Christian, Every Christian has the potential through Holy Spirit who drives us and moves us and shapes us to contribute to the kingdom of God here on earth and in heaven. We do this through our spiritual giftedness. And every spiritual gift comes from God and allows us to live as Christ. But we have to move through them with discernment, seeking Holy Spirit for guidance in what they are and how we best use them. We have to work through it and work it out with fear and trembling. We have to discover how to live like and become Christ, and then lead others to Christ as we do it. It's often why programs don't necessarily work sometimes. One size doesn't fit all. It takes trial and error. God is too big for all of us to look the same way. We are glimpses, reflections, one perspective of God's great glory. We have to experiment. We have to experiment with the list that Paul gives us here in this passage. We have to experiment with the other gifts that are listed in other parts of Scripture, knowing that these aren't exhaustive. And other personality tests exist that help us on our journey, and I'm big into these things, folks. Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, Berkman, Kiersey. On a side note, if you're interested in finding more out about yourself, I'd be happy to walk alongside you and offer you a test and work with you on it. After all, these are the kind of things that fuel me, that help me get through the preaching process, mind you, that God has gifted me to do. They help to help people discover and become who God created you to be. The easiest measuring tool that I can give you to help discern if you are living into your spiritual giftedness is this. Your life is more fulfilling when you are using your gifts. Your life is more fulfilling when you are giving your gifts, and the tough stuff that life will inevitably throw at you will become more manageable. Trust me, my life hasn't been terribly easy over the last year or so, but I've always felt fulfillment in what I'm doing, how I engage others, how I use the gifts that God has given me. And that other stuff, the hard stuff, well, I can manage it a little easier and more effectively. I can walk through the waters of fear and anxiety and stress and grief and heartache and confusion, burden relationships, tragedy and discouragement, because I am carried by the Spirit of God who fulfills me, and I'm fulfilled in being and becoming the person that God has gifted me to be in the power of Christ's Holy Spirit. Can be hard to do, to practice and discern your spiritual gifts. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes wherewithal. But when you use your gifts and grow your gifts and practice your gifts, you become as Christ. You become Christ. And your life is filled with that peace that passes understanding and joy abundant and fulfillment. And lastly, this is critical in what Paul was saying to the Corinthian church who was in such disarray and disagreement. If I'm doing this, if I'm practicing this, and you're practicing this, and each one of us in this room is practicing this, and those in the gym are practicing this, and every Christ follower in Knoxville and beyond is using their spiritual gifts, and we're encouraging the different gifts and others, and we are putting them all together in one unified body of Christ and moving forward into the world, don't you think we can partner with God and bring heaven to earth? At least just a glimpse of heaven on earth. Thy will be done, O God, on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, such a simple concept can be so convoluted and complicated, because that's how we do things. But Lord, may we all find ourselves as you have created us to be, not as the world has created us, not as our parents or our teachers or pastors or Sunday school teachers or people in our lives have created us to be. Those folks are only guides, God. You are the great conductor of our lives. You are the great creator. You are the one who makes us who we are and allows us to embrace who you've created us to be so that we might be you and live for you and others find you in us. And in that, we create heaven on earth. So God, help us discover who we are in you, our spiritual gifts, our giftedness that shapes us and brings us fulfillment and peace and holiness and righteousness that your Son Jesus gives to us. We ask it in the powerful, precious name of Jesus and Holy Spirit that empowers us to do so. Amen. The perfect song for us to leave this place on. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Go in God's grace.